If the Lord tarries in his coming, this is 2026. However, I'm recording it in 2025. But we do want to wish all our listeners and their families hopefully a wonderful new year, off to a good start, prospering in the Lord's church if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, what are you waiting on? We're ready to assist you in obeying the gospel. As we studied last Lord's Day, how can we be truly happy? Well, the first part of the answer is the procreation of our faith. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, remember what we studied, that we need to be of poor spirit, ready to accept the will of God. And we need to be mourning our sin and repenting of it with godly sorrow that will lead us to repentance. And then we need to be meek, having the courage to obey the gospel, to hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of our sins, confess that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and then be immersed into a watery grave. Baptism is the word. Baptizo, where we're covered completely, and contacting the blood of Christ as we come up out of the watery grave, we're walking in newness of life and added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself. So, secondly, we studied, that is, the progress of our faith in verse 6. Our love for God is to grow. Of course, we're to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And in the procreation of our faith, as we started out, what do we need to do? We need to realize that we need God. As Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. So this morning, we want to pick back up in our study of how can we be truly happy by studying verses 7 and going through 12 here in Matthew chapter 5. And we want to do that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And remember those initials, PFE. As daily we think about what's the most important thing that I could be doing. Well, of course, planning to have a home in heaven with God and all the faithful, all the angels of heaven. Yes, preparing for eternity is the answer. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as, of course, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. But as we come together to worship God, we're also striving to do so in spirit and in truth, having a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. Now, I can assure you, you will be welcomed. There's no question about that. Something else we want to mention. If you would like to have a Bible study where we sit down together and open up God's Word, we would love to set that up at your convenience. We also have Bible correspondence courses available. And if you want to write to us with questions or comments, let me give you that address again. It's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And you'll find our radio sermons going back a number of years and our bulletins posted there on our website. Other information as well. Let's get to our study this morning. We're picking back up with verse 7 and going through 9. And we're going to entitle this section, How Can We Be Truly Happy? By the Perfection of our faith. Now notice, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Well, let's go back to verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, not well-meaning, but those with compassion. We need to be forgiving. As those who sin against us repent, certainly we must forgive them if we expect God to forgive us. We need to have compassion on our fellow man, especially our brethren. Well, that should be without question. Notice Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Proverbs 14:21, "He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." And that's what we're talking about. How can we be truly happy? James 2:13, back to the New Testament, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." We don't want to stand before the Lord and have no mercy shown to us. Well, if we've shown no mercy, that's what's going to happen. We need to be aware of that. Remember Jonah, who had more pity on the gourd that grew above his head and gave him shade. He had more pity when that gourd died and shriveled up than he had for the people of Nineveh. Jonah 4:10. You see, we need to love the lost, hate the sin, but not the sinner. If we are not merciful, we will not obtain mercy. That's the bottom line. But let's go on. Verse 8 of Matthew 5. "Blessed are the pure in heart," not the outward look, but those who have thoughts in accordance with God's word. That's right. You know, we are what we think. Proverbs 23, verse 7, the first part of the verse, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." That's right. Remember David, after sinning with Bathsheba and having Uriah killed? Well, he desired to have a pure heart. In Psalm 51, verse 10, this no doubt was after he repented when Nathan the prophet came to him. Notice, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Well, in James 4, verse 8, notice, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." We don't want to have double minds. We don't want to be wishy-washy. We want to have pure hearts. Yes. Paul advised the Christians at Philippi on proper thinking. Let's go to Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." All of us need to certainly think on that and put it into application. Now, those who do not have a pure heart cannot see God. The pure in heart shall see God. Therefore, our thinking must be directed by God's word. You know, in seeing God, we of course can observe creation and know that there is a creator. But that doesn't reveal God's nature or his commands for us. The scriptures do. They reveal the nature of God and his commands. We need to follow his will in order to see God. That's right. And we will see it in his providential care. We'll see him. But on the day of judgment, every eye shall behold him. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge. But only those who are told, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, now enter into the joys of thy reward," are the ones who are going to really see God in the physical sense in heaven. Do we not want to be there? Well, what does our life say? Now let's go on to verse 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." The peacemakers, not troublemakers, but those who seek to treat, who are trying to treat others as they want to be treated. Well, is that not the golden rule, Matthew 7:12? Well, it certainly is. We learn in Isaiah 9:6, Christ is the Prince of Peace. And as we go to 2 Corinthians 5, I want us to notice verses 18 and 19. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Reconciliation. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." You know, one cannot be a peacemaker and cause strife. We can't be a gossiper. We can't hold grudges. We can't bear false witness and be a peacemaker, can we? Well, of course not. Proverbs 11:13, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." And certainly in 2 Timothy 2:22-24, I believe this will apply in our study. "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart," as we just talked about. "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Peacemakers shall be called what? The children of God. Since God is a God of peace, Christ is the Prince of Peace, the gospel is a gospel of peace, and the kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace, therefore all the subjects of the kingdom, that is, Christians in the Lord's church, must be peacemakers. And let's put that certainly in application, all of us. But now we're going to go to verses 10 through 12. This will be a new section in our study of how can we be truly happy by the persecution of our faith. In other words, our loyalty for God will be tested. Yes, sir. As we just finished studying the perfection of our faith, that is, we're to have the mind of Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," Philippians 2:5. So now we understand, as we're following Christ, we're to have the mind of Christ. We also need to realize we're going to have to suffer for the cause of Christ as his followers. Yes, sir. Notice, let's go to verse 10 now. And this would be in Matthew 5, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, And that's what we're studying, isn't it? For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So yes, we will be tested. 1 Peter 1:7 bears that out. In verse 10, going back to verse 10 again, they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, not for wrongdoing. In other words, here is the test that's going to show us the strength of our faith. We need to be tested in order to know the strength of our faith. Look at 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. How can we still be happy though we're persecuted? Someone may ask that question. Well, let's go now to 1 Peter chapter 3, 13 through 16, and notice, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Instead of being afraid or troubled, notice, "but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." That is, set apart the Lord God in our hearts. "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." So, terrorists, what do they want to do? They want to strike terror in the hearts of their enemies. Well, they sure have a lot of enemies, don't they? But here is how to be truly happy as we're following Christ. Even though we may suffer for being a Christian, we still can be happy because we're glorifying God. Well, that should make us happy. Of course it should. And we're passing the test. We're being tried through the fire, coming out as pure gold. Look at 1 Peter 4:14. "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." That's right. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's the second part of that verse, isn't it? Yes, that's right. "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Persecution calls us to draw closer unto God. Our faith and character grows stronger, not weaker, just as it did with Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:10. But now let's go on to verses 11 and 12. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my name's sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now, this is not referring those who give up the faith. That's not going to work, is it? But this is for those who remain faithful despite all the trials, tribulations, and being persecuted. And you know, of course, in the first century, how many were put to death for being a Christian? And still today, there are those who are persecuted to that degree of being put to death in far-off places. But it could come to this country if we don't know, but we need to be prepared. Now, persecution can come in many different ways. It can be physical, can be verbal. Well, what about taking away a friendship? Taking away one's property? Willfully trying to discredit one's good name? But no matter what the persecution is, we must overcome evil. Not with more evil, but notice Romans 12:17 through 21. recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. We talked about that, didn't we? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There it is. That's right. Why should we rejoice in persecution? You could put an S on that, persecutions. Well, somebody may ask that question. For great is your reward in heaven. That's the answer we can give to that question. Romans 8, 17 and 18. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now that's something to hold on to, no matter what circumstances we may be in. Right, that's the truth. Notice in Acts 5, 41 and 42, and they departed, the apostles, from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Glorifying God makes us happy, does it not? Well, it certainly should, as it did with the apostles. Revelation 2:10, that's the promise that Jesus gave. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. The apostles believed that promise, this promise that Jesus made. What about us? What is our attitude towards our enemies? Well, Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount that we're studying last Lord's Day and this Lord's Day in chapter 5, the same chapter. Go down to verse 44. What was it Jesus said about our enemies, our attitude towards them? But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's right. This is true Christianity. Now the world doesn't understand it, but as a follower of Christ, we should certainly understand that this is God's will. And this is how to make a difference in this world, no matter what circumstances we may be in. Living a life as Jesus would have us to live, in following him. He's our example. Yes, and certainly we need to be ready to suffer as a Christian, as we've been talking about this Lord's Day. So, you know, as we've studied this now, 2 weeks, how can we be truly happy? Well, we've answered the question by having the characteristics of the Beatitudes. So, are we truly happy? Not unless we have the characteristics of the Beatitudes. Of course, we must obey the gospel. Yes, the procreation of our faith. We must grow as Christians. That's, of course, realizing that there's a progress of our faith that is to continue. And then, of course, we understand in having the mind of Christ, showing mercy, remaining pure, and bringing peace, living righteously, and remaining faithful when the persecutions come, as we've studied today. Yes, we need to have the mind of Christ. And certainly as we are implementing his teachings into our life, That's what we're doing, having the mind of Christ. And realizing that living righteously is going to bring persecution, but remain faithful, as we are happy that we're glorifying God in doing so. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22:14. Now we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the precious gospel of Christ, studying further to be sure that we are understanding what God would have us to do to become a child of His, to become a member of the body of Christ, to become a subject in the kingdom of God. We start out with hearing the truth. We must hear the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. After believing that Jesus is the Christ, we're ready to repent, making a change of our wills. As Jesus said in Luke 13:3-5, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, as there were examples of those who perished. But we don't want to perish for eternity, certainly not. So having repented, getting out of a sinful life and following the will of God, now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. We're going to state that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God before others. And we certainly should not ever be ashamed to continue confessing Jesus before others. Now, after the confession is made, we're ready to be immersed into a watery grave of baptism. Here's where we're contacting the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As Ananias told Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Why should we wait? If we know what we're to do to be saved, what's more important than our salvation, our eternal destiny? After we've obeyed the gospel, what happens? The Lord adds us to His body, to His church, the church of Christ. He possesses it. Acts 2:47. Here's where we need to remain faithful even unto death, if it would mean so. Revelation 2:10, as we mentioned a while ago. And we're going to add the Christian graces. We're going to be truly happy by staying faithful, growing in our faith, growing closer to God, and making a difference in this world, as we are the salt of the earth and to be the light that's not hid and shining forth. It's right there in Matthew 5 as well. We thank you so much for listening today.